chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, this morning we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, so I'm not trying to continue a message from this morning. We're going to continue to go through this series. And again, I want to make sure that I've really springboarded off of a series that David Jeremiah did. And it's on, you know, we've covered discouragement, we've covered fear, we've covered worry, we've covered, I should remember all, those are three, I know we've covered four, and tonight we're going to cover failure. It's interesting the response that you've had tonight, and it's really a daunting topic, because every single person, now maybe not the children so much, maybe only in sports, and I think that's good, but every teenager, right, once you hit your teen years, you begin to realize that failure is a regular part of life. And if you don't learn how to deal with failure, it can be debilitating. It can be crushing. It can really just affect you and minimize your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. Before we jump into our text tonight, I do want to encourage you with this. Without Christ, no one can have victory. No one can please God. It's only through Jesus Christ and His shed blood that we can be pleasing unto the Lord. Anyone that is outside of Christ, if that's the way they end their life, can never have true eternal success. So tonight I'm going to speak to those that you say, I am a Christian, I am a believer, I love Jesus Christ, and I am struggling with this old flesh. I am struggling having victory more regularly. And so I really struggle with this, and I struggle with this myself. The average person that claims to be a Christian, we walk in failure. We do not walk in victory. We walk defeated lives as though we just can't ever succeed in Jesus Christ. And before I turn to 2 Corinthians 4, would you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 15? Maybe I should have had you turn there first. This is all just background. But I want you to know this, but I want you to know that before I get there, failure is a regular thing. We have to learn how to deal with it. We have to learn how to respond biblically to it. But I also want you to understand that we can have victory. And it is the intent of the Lord through Jesus Christ that we do have victory. You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we've been given everything we need to have victory. Failure, ultimately, that will bring this great discouragement is sin, right? Failure, ultimately, that will just cause us to be ineffective will be sin-based, right? It could be pride-based. And so you'd say, well, if I fail at this, is that the sin? Possibly not, but then just taking it more beyond itself could be. It's the pride that comes in. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 51. We'll get there many, many months from now as we study 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning. But it says this, behold, I show you a mystery. Paul trying to encourage the church at Corinth. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. He's speaking of his body. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us, present tense that word is, that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to 1 John 5:4. So short, just listen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want you to know that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection that saves us. It's the same gospel of Jesus Christ that gives us victory daily. I want to tell you this. The weirder people get, Just understand. I've never known of a weirdo. Okay, and I'm not Mr. Weirdo expert, but we've all met a weirdo, right? And I know we're all weird in our own way. Those that are the most weird are the furthest from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The further away we get from the gospel, the more strange and odd we get. And I don't try to make things so simple that it becomes silly, but God keeps it so simple for us that it almost does appear silly. I want to tell you this. You will become odd the further you're removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the further you're removed from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to others, you will become odd. You will not have the victory that was intended for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. When you are the lowest that you are, I will tell you my encouragement is, find somebody to minister to, find somebody to encourage them in the Word of God, and it will lift your spirits and change you. Let me tell you what I find all the time. If I sit around and think about this work, sometimes I can get discouraged because it's not nearly as fast as I want. It's not nearly as, you know, robust as I want. But that's not to criticize you. It's just I'm a driven person and probably too driven at times. But when I speak about this work to others, I'm encouraged. Because I begin to speak, you know, I don't walk up to anybody and say, let me tell you all the bad things about Hope Baptist Church. We just don't do that. Somebody says, well, how's the work doing? Oh, brother, man, God is good. And then I need to articulate God is good. And when I begin to speak of it, I begin to be encouraged. When you begin to tell others about your Savior, when you begin to tell others about Jesus Christ, when you get beyond yourself and your problems and take the focus off of yourself and you begin to tell others what a great Savior you serve, how much you love Jesus Christ, I will tell you, it will take you and lift your spirit and encourage you, and your failures won't be so monstrous because Jesus Christ is really all that matters in this life. And it is incredibly simple. And I'm not telling you as a magic potion, we need to do it with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I'm not telling you just to go through the motions, but I want to tell you this, is when you are discouraged, you need to seek the Lord, and then you need to share Jesus Christ with others, and it will change your outlook. And if it doesn't work the first 24 hours, do it the next 24 hours, then do it the next 24 hours, and after 1 week, you come to me and you say, not true, preacher. I have pursued Jesus Christ this week. I've been telling everybody what a great God we serve. Hasn't done anything. Take the test. And suddenly your failures will shrink. He must increase. And we must decrease. When Jesus becomes bigger to us, we can't have victory. And the reality is, I will tell you, every one of you, every single, you know, here's the reality. Don't you love people that aren't parents? They have all the answers. Everyone that's a parent in here, you're thinking, I'm a failure. Without a doubt. You think, man, I've blown it. So what could you do about yesterday? Nothing. And so I hope tonight you'll be encouraged. What can we do today to make it right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, turn back in your Bibles there, and let's get into the text tonight. It is a little odd that I'm in 2 Corinthians, and I'm at 4, and I was in 1 Corinthians 4 this morning, but I think it's just simple coincidence with that. No rhyme or reason that I'm trying to pick similar chapters, but from the second letter of God to the church at Corinth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing fruit in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I'll stop there. We'll continue the passage here in just a few minutes. Facing the giant of failure, the first thing I want you to know is the reality of failure. The reality of failure. It is part of our lives. It is, I would suggest this, in our fallen state, it is the plan of God. I always want to make this clear. Did God ever want sin? No. Did God ever need sin? No. Did God ever desire sin? No. But in our fallen state, failure is part of the plan of God. All that said, and I see it here, if you'll understand this, it says, for we have this treasure, in verse 7, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The issue that we have, Christian, the issue that we have, follower of Jesus, I want you to understand this, this is so important, is the battle is between the new you, the new man, the saved person, and the flesh. That's the earthen vessels that we have. It's the weakness of the flesh, but look at this in verse 7, but we have this treasure. We saw this in 1 Corinthians last week that our bodies, this is amazing thought, are the temple of God and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 last week. But it says this, but we have this treasure, and it speaks of the gospel prior to this, in earthen vessels. We have this message. It's in this body, in this these earthen vessels that are going to go back to dirt. Why? It says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Failure is our reality, but in God's goodness, we fail so that we might depend on Him. Do you see? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, it says, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's nothing impressive about man. In the grand scheme of things, we exalt man. We saw the struggle with that this morning. But failure is part of our reality. We fail daily when you think of sin. Sin, the base word for sin, just means missing the mark. When people tell me they haven't sinned, they're saying they're perfect. And now missing the mark, there's two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I've never had a day where I've loved God perfectly and I've loved my neighbor perfectly. Have you? Then you've missed the mark. You've sinned. I remember I had some now friends that they were from Church of God and they visited here. And this man's wife visited. And, you know, they weren't used to openness, right? And so I said, I sin every day. Oh, she left so offended. And I had to explain to her, right? I mean, she thought, you know, she was taking, you know, like fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, all of these, and thinking, you know, that pastor's up there just bragging that he's sinning every day and he's still going to heaven. I knew those Baptists, you know, they. And so, no, that's not what I'm preaching, but we've never perfectly loved God one day. Not one day. Not one hour. We've never perfectly done that. We fail every day. Let me just tell you, I had a good time looking up some failures in history. I want to encourage you. Most of you feel like failures. That's the typical American. We are a driven society, and we exalt those successes from a worldly view. And so, but listen to some of these. We can never know who will succeed. Beethoven. Beethoven handled the violin so awkwardly and preferred playing his own compositions that his teacher called him hopeless as a composer. Bad teacher. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. Well, we are able to see the Word of God tonight, thankfully, to a derivation of Thomas Edison and the invention of the light bulb. Albert Einstein did not speak until he was 4 years old and couldn't read until he was 7. His teacher described him, quote, as mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in his foolish dreams. Bad teacher. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because, quote, he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. That guy didn't invest in Disney either, and so he was poor till his death. Michael Jordan. Does Michael Jordan still resonate with people? How many know Michael Jordan? Okay. Okay, so. But LeBron James didn't get cut from his high school team, so that's why he's not on here. Michael Jordan, most people wouldn't believe that this player, he was cut from his high school basketball team. And Jordan said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. He took his failures, and he learned from them. And Michael Jordan does not know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Can we not, as believers in Jesus Christ, learn from our failures, not sulk, and know that God understood the frailty, the weakness of this earthen vessel that he has created, and that he has a plan for using those failures to draw us nigh to him so that we might glorify him more? Remember this. When I sulk or when I mope or when I struggle with my failures, it's because I've become too focused on me and not on Jesus. Our reality is we will fail every day. The reason for our failure. Look at verses 10 through 12. It says this in verses 10 through 12. It's always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. He's really dealing with this, that every single day we are dying. Every day we are closer to death than we were yesterday. But as a believer, when we understand this, that we, in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Some of the most moving things in my life are watching people that fail honor God. Watching people that fail succeed. Is that not you? Are those not the things that make the YouTube hits? And we love to see that on whatever television show it is, that they want to sing, they want to do different things, and they've overcome difficulties, and they've become a what? Success. But for us, you see, the reason why we press on, the reason why we continue to strive for success, and that word only shows up one time in the Bible in Joshua 1:8. But the reason why we do is for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. So when we fail, people are watching us. How do we handle failure? How do we deal with it? Christians, we should be different. And so the reality, the reason for our failure is dependence on Christ. Will you jump down with me to verses 17 and 18? I want to show you just a couple of more reasons. I love the Bible that has such an eternal perspective. It says this, for our light affliction. I don't know if that's a little tongue-in-cheek by the Holy Spirit through Paul, but for our light affliction, and understand this, whatever our struggles are, whatever our failures are, whatever we're overwhelmed with, from an eternal perspective, it is light affliction. Met a young man just the other day, he told me, he said, this is hell. I was talking to him at a sidewalk. And you've heard me, I've met many people that say, this is hell. And I said, young man, it is not. I said, I don't know what you're going through. I said, but my heart breaks for you. But I said, this isn't anything close to hell. I said, can you see me? He said, I can. I said, you won't see anybody in hell. I said, can you open your mouth? He said, I can. I said, you'll be gnashing your teeth in hell. I said, young man, this life is very hard. And I've never gone through what this young man had gone through. And I said, but this is not hell. You see, I want us to have that eternal perspective that says this. It says, for our light affliction. For our light affliction. And I'm not here to make light of your struggles. I'm not here to make light of your failures. I'm not here to make light of your issues in life. But if you're saved tonight, it is light affliction indeed, is it not? And if we keep our eyes on Christ, that'll help us. For our light affliction, do you see here in verse 17 it says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seeing our eternal. The first thing that we saw in verses 10 through 12 is the reason for our failure, dependent on Christ. The second thing is to help us focus on what's important. Do you see that? It says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Don't get overwhelmed with this temporary situation, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God wants us to focus on the more weighty things of life and our failure. I want to tell you, one of the worst things in the world might be that God allows you to have great success and become super wealthy, and because you will become independent of God if you follow the natural flow of a rich man. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Riches can be a curse and a weight. And so you say, you know, I know young people, they want to have money and a bank account and cars. It's not what it's about. I know you have to provide for your family. God will take care of you. And you must be responsible in all that. I'm not speaking irresponsible tonight. But the weighty things of life are the things of Jesus Christ. And never forget that. If your job gets in the way of you serving and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, find another job. The only thing you cannot change is your relationship and pursuit of Jesus Christ. Everything else is optional. Now, once you choose to get married, I would tell you, make it work. But I'm telling you that when you are pursuing life for our young people, the only thing that isn't optional is honoring God. Everything else is optional. If anything gets in the way of us honoring God, then those are the lighter things. Those aren't the weighty things of glory. Those aren't the things that'll matter. Those aren't the things when we pass from this earth that'll really last. And then I want you to look at verse 18. The third reason of failure is that I've somewhat alluded to this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I've told you before, I love preaching at funerals. You pray I'm going to talk to Dennis's family tomorrow, and I'm not sure what their plans are, but I may try to help them just at least have a memorial service for Dennis. And I would love to preach at that. I'm going to offer our church building up for that. And if I do, I would love to also say that we will provide food for that. Would that be okay? And we'll figure it out. We'll do it. You know? And so... we can do it if we have to, but I would love you all to be involved. It'd be good. And the reason why is death is victory of the devil. Did you know that? The last enemy to be defeated in 1 Corinthians 15 is death. And when we see in Revelation 20, verse 15, that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, no more, no more death. Death is victory by the devil. And so, funerals are a time where people think about eternal things. They're there because someone left this life. That person no longer has life and breath in them. And you see, failure does help us, doesn't it? I'm telling you, when we struggle, all of a sudden we go, what really matters? You all have experience in this in one way, shape, or form. One phone call can change your entire life. One hospital visit can change your entire life. One doctor visit can change your entire life. And all of a sudden, everything that made sense and everything that really mattered doesn't matter. And you're focused on the weightier things and the more eternal things. And you're saying, what have I done with my life? I really try to look at that. If I knew I was going to die on Wednesday, what would I do Monday and Tuesday? I'm going to go see Jesus Christ. That's my Savior. That's really all that matters, is what's happening on Wednesday. How do I go and meet Him in a way that's most honorable for Him? That's really the way we ought to think. I think if we knew we were dying on Wednesday, most of us might not pursue eternal things. It'll help you understand if you're lost or if you're saved. If the world found out they were dying on Wednesday, they would try to stay up for 48 straight hours. And they would live as decadently as they could. You know that's the average lost person. Now, the older they get, the less that decadence interests them because they've had the sting of sin. And so maybe it might be family, the older they get. But the younger they are, the less sting of sin they've said, well, I haven't experienced this and I'm going to go experience that. What would we do as a Christian? The reason for failure, God brings it into our lives to help calibrate us and get us thinking right on the weighty things, on the eternal things, and that will draw us in dependence on Christ. I want to tell you this. I know how I project, and I'm not trying to project anything about Steve Hall. I project this that, oh, I've got it together, I'm confident. You know, I know that's weird that I would say that. I don't have it together. My confidence better be in Jesus Christ or I am a fool. I want you to know this. I don't think I should come to the pulpit and act like a goof. But I never want you to think, I can't be like that. Yes, you can. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that you can't be like, I'm just saying this. Just pursue Christ. I don't have it together. What I'm preaching to you is I'm preaching to you important things. I will tell you, I've not felt like more of a failure in my life since I've been a pastor. I've never struggled with worry or discouragement in my life. And now those are like big deals for me. Discouragement and worry. I never worried. I was never discouraged. If you ask me today, I'm just speaking honestly and just leave me alone. Don't try to encourage me. That's not what I'm asking for. I failed as a pastor. And so I need to follow this message. God can use that to humble me. I still think there's more humbling that needs to occur. I need to get lower. I must decrease. He must increase. And I love this because you know what? I know if God were honest, He would say, you have failed. But I'm not done. I'm going to pursue Christ. I'm going to lift Him up. I'm going to be more gospel focused. I'm going to love people. I'm not going to worry about people and I'm not going to judge others. I'm going to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this. I think I can change. I think I can be a different person. And all I need to do is pursue Christ and be real about it. And so the reason for failure is that God has a plan. The third thing I want you to see is really the result of failure. This is for believers. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. I want to look at verse 16. Paul speaking to them, and you know, he's speaking some heavy things, and he says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, we can't quit, we can't faint, we can't stop, because those of us that are saved, the inward man is renewed day by day. You've heard me say this all the time. Maybe not all the time, but I don't give Christians this a lot, but certain Christians I will. I'll say, if you can quit, go ahead, quit. A true Christian can't quit. We may want to, but we can't quit. We can't. Verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not. I want you to understand this. You may want to quit. Had a young man I met this week. I was going to try to take him to Reformers Unanimous. Went to his house and he was drunk and buzzed. And so I just sat down on the grass and we talked. And I was going to take him still. But he said, no, I have to take this alcohol with me. I said, no, not taking alcohol with you to this meeting. He said, yes, no. We sat there and argued for that. You know, I know, it's just crazy. He said, I want to die. You ever felt that way, Christian? He said, I don't want to wake up tomorrow. And I know we feel that way sometimes as Christians. Let's get our eyes back on Christ. I tried to love Him. I tried to care for Him. It felt like a complete zero. You know, you never know. I'm going to try to help him again this week. I'm going to try to get a guy that can help me a little bit more with addictions. And because I didn't want to be too rough. Rough is easy for me. So I was about to leave and he goes, will you stay 5 more minutes? And so I stayed 5 more minutes. And then when I left, he looked at me and he goes, are you not coming back just like everybody else doesn't come back? And I'm like, ooh. I wasn't completely committed that I was coming back. And I said, I'm coming back. I want you to know this. God cares. God cares for that young man. That young man, while he was telling me, he said, I want to stop drinking alcohol. He was drinking alcohol. You know, I didn't know what to do. You know, if I'd have known him, I'd have taken that away from him. And yeah, you see that face sometimes too. You know, I'm like, but I need to love him first, right? As Christians, we want to quit, but we can't. Now, keys to victory, and I won't be long. I won't belabor the point. They're just simple things that I want you to know this. We need to admit our failure. What we do and what the world does is, you know, here's the reality. The reality is every single one of us, we are failures here. I try to tell people that. I want all of our guests to know, welcome, you're amidst misfits. You're in the midst of people that are struggling. But here's what I hope. You're in the midst of people that are struggling and that say, you know what? I can't do it on my own. I need help. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's become such a generic thing. It's really not you know, distinctively Christian. Now, I think some chapters are, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful anytime anyone is dried out from alcoholism. It's such a scourge and such a horrible thing. So I'm not here to beat that up. But, you know, what we must do is we must be sort of like those meetings, whether it's Reformers Unanimous, which I would, anytime you find someone that's an addict, that's what I would recommend. You can look it up online and find there's one up at Friendship Baptist, there's one up at First Baptist of Milford that we can take people to. And so that's more Christ-centered, and I love that. It's not just spiritually centered, right? But I want to tell you this, all of us need to be that way each time we come to a service, and I want you to try to get that way, and you say, I need help! And seek to gain something that you can grab a hold of and pursue for the next 24 to 48 hours. Maybe if it's really good for 1 week. That you say, you know what, I'm going to grab that nugget and I'm going to run with it. Because you know what, we all are addicts with sin, are we not? We are so addicted to sin, our flesh is, that since this time last Sunday night, you all have sinned grievously. You've sinned enough to deserve eternity in hell. We are addicts when it comes to sin, and we need to come here for help. We need to admit our failure. The second thing I would tell you to do is just simple, but it's long-winded. Repent, receive God's forgiveness, and rise up from failure. Repent, receive God's forgiveness, and rise up from failure. All failure is not sinful. I'm not suggesting that. Most of my failure is sin-based. I'll speak from myself. There are times you can fail and it wasn't because of sin. It just was God's goodness and God's mercy and His grace that didn't let you succeed because God knew best, right? So I'm not suggesting it's always sinful. Mine typically is. Whether it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, my failures are sin-based. My failures are because I really didn't put Christ first and I put something else first, so I'm speaking for myself. When I fail, the first thing I do is I examine myself spiritually, and 99 times out of 100, there is a flaw, there is a problem, there is something I need to make right with Jesus Christ. That's me. I'm not suggesting every failure is sin. When it is sin, repent. And then when you repent, receive the Lord's forgiveness. Stop beating yourself up. Turn to the Lord and do what's right. The devil wants to remind you of your failure. The devil wants to remind you of your sin. The devil wants to keep you captive with your sin. The devil will use people to hold you back. You know this, keep your eyes on Christ and don't let a teacher that said you were a dummy affect you. I'm glad Einstein didn't. I'm glad all those other guys that I didn't. Don't you let somebody that didn't know what they were talking about and actually sinned when they spoke, don't let their words continue to haunt you in your voice. Get up, repent, receive the Lord's forgiveness, and it's as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Receive the Lord's forgiveness and then get up. You know this verse, Proverbs 24:16. It's, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. A just man, the only way to be just or justified is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it can only be speaking to Christians. A Christian will get back up and do what's right. If you need help, we'll help you. And so repent, receive God's forgiveness, and rise up for failure. I've alluded to this, but we all know Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. All things, including your failure, including everything in your life, it will work out for good. We've got to trust in God. That's easier said than done, is it not? You have a child in the hospital. You have a child that passes away. You have a loved one that passes away. Just heard of a person that Josh went to school with at MCS, 21 years old, died in their sleep. Why does that happen? Can't make sense of it. Your life didn't work out the way you thought. I will tell you this, don't you love... I love getting older. Leon, you could testify tonight how things you thought were just a train wreck and the worst thing in the world, how good God was. I'm not going to share, but you ought to talk to Leon sometime. And his first wife didn't treat him right, didn't do what's right at all. You tell me to stop. You upset, I'm not going to go into great detail. Put the brakes on. Go ahead. All right. And I can't imagine the emotional turmoil you went through after all that, all that she did. But in hindsight, you can see how God worked it out for good. But man, when you were going through it, ain't no way. You were embarrassed. You felt like a failure. You thought everybody else thought you were a failure. But God had a different plan. And that's hard when you're going through it, isn't it? And so remember this. When it's sin, repent. Receive the Lord's forgiveness and remember. No Christian should ever tell somebody Romans 8:28 within 6 months of a tragedy. Don't you dare quote it. Don't you dare tell somebody that. You pray for them and you love them. That's not the time to quote Romans 8:28. You follow me? Now's the time for you to grasp Romans 8:28 before the tragedy. That's not our job to say, it'll all work out, my friend. Shut up. Right? Tell them, I love you. I'm praying for you. And when they begin to see God's hand and it's working out. But that's not our job, right? So be careful with Romans 8:28. We can do a lot of damage with that. The third thing, and I'll be quick to a close. This is a little bit different. It's sort of different, but it's maybe a bent that I have recently. Don't judge failure in others. Keys to victory, admit our failure, repent, receive God's forgiveness, and rise up from failure. The third is don't judge failure in others. Here's the key. When I read, you know, Beethoven, his teacher said he was a loser, hopeless as a composer. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. Albert Einstein, the guy's mentally slow, unsociable. You know, he's adrift forever in his foolish dreams. People that articulated and they said, loser! 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 That ought not to be part of Christians. When we put others down, it's to lift us up. Don't judge the failure of others. Here's why. You have no idea what God's going to do. You know, I could start going through some lists, and I have a list here. What about Joseph? Loser! Sold into slavery. God blesses, sends him to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accuses him of infidelity, and Joseph is sent to jail. Loser! No, just part of God's plan. Wouldn't you love to be like Joseph? After prison. Right? That's the way we all are. What about Job? Or I love with new believers. What about Job? Don't you love new believers? Man, it's just so good. And I love new believers. 1 Peter. You know, that's good. Oh my God, it's so good. I don't even tell them. I love that. And so it's just so fun to see somebody that just going to read it the way it is. But look at Job. Job sure looked like a failure, didn't he? His comfortless comforter for about 30-something chapters told him a thing or two, didn't they? Man, their old tongue was wagging, and God let them have it. Let us not be the comfortless comforters. Let us not pile on to others when they fail. Let us be ambassadors of love. Let us be ambassadors of healing. Let us be ambassadors of encouragement. Let us be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It has no place within Christianity. It has no place within the Lord's churches. but it is rampant, is it not? I hate to admit this. The only college football team I like to watch is Notre Dame, because I love to watch them lose. Isn't that terrible? I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, they lost. That makes my day. That is warped. There's a problem with that, and it violates what I'm just trying to teach you. And we grow up that way, right? We like, hate the Steelers, you know, or whoever it is. It's okay. Anything in Cleveland you can hate. But other than that, that wasn't a, oh, that was a, that just flopped. But it's this. It's, we've got to stop piling on other people. I want to tell you, it's a common thing when I deal with people, hurting people. Every person we meet, they're hurting. They've been hurt in churches. They've been hurt by Christians because some Christian has judged them to be a loser, a failure that can never be anything for Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, all of you, you've had struggles. You've had people that have, you know, said things. I want to tell you this. What you need to do is you need to receive the forgiveness of the Lord and press on and not listen to people and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. But here's what I want. You know, I do love to hear that we are a friendly church, and that's encouraging to me. What I want to hear is I want to hear even that. I'm encouraged with that. I want us to hear that. You know, I want to start running to people at Fairfield, and they want to go, oh, are you from that Hope Baptist Church? And you guys are weird. All you want to do is talk about Jesus. I'll be like, oh, thank you. We ought to be kind, gentle, but we ought to be known that you need Jesus Christ. The only hope you have is Jesus Christ. I want people that fail to have hope. It's why we named our church that. We are a church of misfits. We are a church of failures. But in Jesus Christ, we can have victory. Remember, God wants to use your failures to draw you to Him for His glory and His honor. Failure in these earthen vessels are part of God's plan to bring us nigh to Christ. Let's pray.